Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
So I did a little video on it, and I said, here's my rendition of the book, you know, how to fast fast. And it's one page, and it's like, don't eat.
And exactly.
I just save readers 8 hours of reading.
Oh, my God.
Or more. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Ray Brehm is one of the most sought-after book launch coaches in the marketplace, or as Jeffrey just referred to him before our interview, he is Mr. Big Shit in the book launch arena. His books and products have influenced thousands to step up, share their expertise, and make it big with their book launches. He's the author of more than 10 books, including 9 best-selling books. His most popular books include The Author Startup, Bestseller Book Launch, and The Snowball Book Launch.
Which he has trademarked.
Yes, he has. Diehards, please help me welcome Ray Brehm.
So, Ray, welcome to Sell or Die. About 100,000 people are going to see this. Probably 9 of them are authors.
But that's okay, because we're going to be talking about not just how to sell your book, but it's the same concept as how to sell your idea to your boss, or how to sell your product to your customer.
Or launch your course.
Exactly. So I think that the concepts and strategies that you're about to share can really help many of our diehard listeners.
So help us initially. You had 9 out of 10 bestsellers. Where's the 10th one? So we can avoid that book.
Well, first of all, it's an honor and a pleasure to talk to you both. The 10th one, I pushed out a couple books. I just hit publish, and I didn't even market them because.
Oh, I see. That's okay.
So it was more of a lack of trying, I would say, at this point. I have a buddy that I co-authored a book with, and he's like, you know, the book I co-authored with you is the only one of mine that's not a bestseller. And I said, sorry about that.
How did you decide that you were going to be a writer and then a coach to other writers? Was it a bunch of people that didn't know how to do it?
Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons I push people to write the books, is because you kind of find out what you want to do. I decided, probably like most people, for 10 or 15 years, I wanted to write a book. And then it's just little sticky pads all over my office. Like, I'm going to write a book on this, or I'm going to write a book on that. Finally, I just sat down and said, I'm going to do it, and muscled my way through. And when I got done, people started to reach out to me and saying, hey, how did you do that? How did you get it to bestseller? How did you market it? And you know, it looked easy. Can we hire you? And I'm like, boy, if you saw what was going on behind the scenes, you wouldn't be asking that question. But for me, I think one of my superpowers, if you will, is I can't stand wasting time on anything. So I had to figure out the fastest way to do everything the 80-20 rule. I want to get 80% of the result, and I want to use 20% of the effort and try to sift through all the things that are not really worth your time.
But now the book market is much more flooded than it was when you started, isn't it?
Yeah, now you're dating me, back in the day. No, it is more flooded. There's a lot of people that don't know the marketing side of it. So you still have an advantage to getting out there.
The people that don't know anything about marketing a book are the ones that publish it, aren't they?
That's true. So there's still this myth about, you know, I just had a client from Singapore say, a potential client, I should say, she's like, we're going to go with the traditional publisher. And I said, okay. Basically, you've just added 2 years to your
launch.
Published time, to the launch. And then they're going to say, give us your list so we can market it. So,
right.
So, okay. How do you break through that noise? We're talking about the fact that there's tons of other books out there. How do you break through?
Yeah. So there's a lot of great places to advertise. And so first thing that comes to mind is, you know, should I run Facebook ads? And of course you should at some point, but there's a lot of places that are targeted. It's kind of like if you were selling your book and you stood outside of Walmart versus you stood outside of Barnes and Noble, as long as it lasts. People going into Barnes and Noble, they're at least looking to buy a book.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart, you know, they may or may not be. So your chances are a little. So that's where I think of Facebook. It's like, we'll go there later, and that's once we get an audience. But in front of Barnes and Noble, people want to buy a book. Let's get in front of those people first. Now, with my clients, we do a lot of semi-complicated things, as far as like, we will fire a pixel anytime somebody from one of these book sites clicks on our link, and we start building an audience that way for Facebook. But then you can at least start talking to people that are interested in your type of book.
When people walk into Barnes and Noble, you also know that they can pretty much read.
You hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
unless they're going for the coffee.
Yeah, the odds are better anyway.
So, walk me through this though, from like a strategic point of view. I write a book, I get it out there.
No, I think part of what he does though is the whole writing, editing process. Don't you help with that?
Yeah. So I started thinking I was going to be a ghostwriter, right? And I got all these entrepreneur friends, and I went and recorded a guy's seminar and a buddy of mine, and we turned it into a book. And I'm like, that's going to be me. And then after I did it once, I said, no, I can't sit there and type up people's stuff. So my forte is the marketing, but what's happened is now I got a lot of entrepreneur friends like, I need a book, and they don't have any idea where to start. So I actually started a challenge where I get them to write the draft, and I've got a template that basically picks their brain to get the information on paper. So people that aren't, because you think like, okay, I need this much. I need probably 6 months of training on how to write a book. Then I'm going to spend 2 years writing a book, and it's not true. What people are looking for as the reader of your content is information, and not that you know the top words in the thesaurus.
So where do you start? You're an entrepreneur or you're a salesperson with a great idea and amazing expertise. Now what?
Then we sit down. What I do with my clients, we do a one-page book plan, and it talks about the positioning. So I would say, how do you want to be viewed after you read your book? How do you want the book to be viewed by the public? How do you want your avatar to be viewed after they read your book and follow the path of what's information that's in the book? And then we map that out, and Then you've got a draft, which is by far the hardest thing. I'm sure you're aware.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are legitimate writers.
Yes. Right.
A lot of people are authors.
Right.
Don't want to mention any names because it wouldn't be fair to them, right?
That's true.
But there are a lot of ghostwriters. You almost went into the business.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
Okay, so you figure out what people want to feel and how you want your reader to feel and basically why you're doing this. And then what? Like, where, if you're an entrepreneur or a salesperson, where do you find the time?
That's what I try to keep simple, because that's the biggest objection almost everybody has. Like, I don't have time to learn this, and I don't have time to write, and I don't.
Well, then you don't have time to be a fucking expert either.
Well, let's hear what Ray is suggesting to our diehards so that they can find the time.
But listen, the bottom line is, as a writer, I'll tell you, I wrote from my own expertise. I don't research shit. I don't care what 5,000 salespeople think. I care what I did in Manhattan, where fuck you is a greeting. And and that's how you learn how to sell. And so I took those experiences and wrote about them. It's not that difficult.
That's what I try to tell people, too. It's like you think, because there's a lot of people giving advice out there like, nope, it takes a long time. You've got to write properly. And it's like, you know what? The reader is interested in your content. Like, when I read the Sales Manifesto, I connect with you because you're talking in a conversational tone to me. And that's,
you're correct, and also an excellent judge.
That's right.
But just think about this for just a second. There are 1,000 people right now thinking, I need to write a book. I need to either brand myself or put myself out there. And it's okay. So Jen needed to write a book. She we created Sales in a New York Minute, which I think is an unbelievable brand. And she dedicated herself to writing a half an hour a day, an hour a day. Not that it wasn't a killer thing. And a year later, and by the way, she was smart enough to go into the studio and record the minutes. And so she has a YouTube channel with her book basically recorded and her book recorded. And so when she's finished the book, she's got an arsenal of things that she can sell. Now she can go to market without having to have what I would refer to as a struggle. All she did was talk about her own expertise, whether it was networking or selling, based on, you know, how many hours of research did you do for this, Jen?
None. I just lived my life and sold a shit ton.
Right, exactly. So if you need to do research on your book, you're writing the wrong book.
Well, there's a genre of those kinds of books.
Yeah, maybe if you're doing something on like brain surgery or something, you might need a couple of references. But
or like medical science to losing weight.
Yeah. Well, we're not in that club. We don't need to lose a pound.
No, not us.
No, we're svelte.
Yeah. So okay.
I give you a good example of this too, by the way. That I've been doing this intermittent fasting or whatever it is, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
I heard about him. A buddy of mine said,
Nikita,
hey, it's great.
Yeah.
And I go to my doc and I said, you know, should I do this? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Here's a book on it. And it was about this thick.
Oh, right.
And it says the obesity code. And I'm like, I'm not carrying this thing. You
know? Hold on. In a week, you end up eating the fucking book.
Right. And I'm like,
because you're so hungry.
I'm not carrying this around. And I can't sit still that long to read that many pages. Just tell me what it is. So I did a little video on it. And I said, here's my rendition of the book, you know, how to fast. And it's one page. And it's like, don't eat.
And right, exactly.
I just save readers 8 hours of reading.
Oh, my God.
Or more.
Okay.
So, But anyway, the point being talk about your expertise, and you don't, the research would go into like perhaps what title to use, what subtitle to use, and for right. the algorithm on Amazon, things like that. But exactly the topic, unless, you know, there's people teaching that, like, hey, you can go write a book on this and make money. You know, just go research which ones are the, you know, best paying.
Oh, come on. Genres. Come on. That's a bunch of bullshit. But however, just think about it this way. What do you love to do? And what do you do with all your heart every day? That's what you can write a book about. Other than that, if you're looking for money, go rob a bank. It's easier. It takes about 20 minutes. Most of the guys don't get caught.
We do not condone this advice, by the way. This is not like sell or die advice. This is
personal advice.
That's it. Rob a bank in a New York minute. That could be your next.
No, literally, I, you know, because of how Ty Boyd treated me when I first was in the speaking business, I pay it forward. So if somebody comes to me and they want to know something about speaking, I'll sit down and talk to them. So I meet this kid in the morning for breakfast in Charlotte 15 years ago. He said, where's the money in the speaking business? I said, you know, I really don't know where, quote, the money is, but I can tell you what I did. I started with what I love to do, sales and service, and that sort of branched into other things. And I just continued on a path of doing the things that I loved and speaking about it. And the kid goes, Yeah, but where's the money? Like, are you kidding me? So I, you know, that we're in that environment. Don't think that there's not that, you know, how to make a fast buck and do this. And if
okay, so that's a great point, Jeffrey. So Ray, help us. Why? I mean, we have our own opinions on this, but I really want yours.
Yeah.
Why should an entrepreneur or salesperson write a book?
For me, it's all about. Credibility, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about it in Sales Manifesto, but it's pre-framing. So if you can get somebody to either filter themselves one way or another, whether they like you or they don't, before they even talk to you, now you've built that connection, that you've built the opinion or their opinion ahead of time. So one of the most common things I get, and it's something I mentioned to you, Jeffrey, a second ago, is for my books, people can, they say, I just like your conversational tone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've already liked my style, or they dislike it. And there are those too. Right?
Yeah.
And that's great because they've already figured it out before I talk to them. They're not reaching out to me and then saying, boy, I don't like you. They've already decided that and told me on Amazon they don't like me.
Right. So. They're from New York. They don't like anybody. Sure.
Okay, I love it. So you want to create credibility. You want to create attraction. You write a book. And now tell us, how do you break through that noise?
To get your book noticed, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How do you get your book found? There's so many books. There's like millions. Not even like. There are millions of books on Amazon.
Right. So there's a whole piece about learning the Amazon algorithm and all that, but that's where you start doing the keyword research. That's where I personally like launching a book over during a pre-order process. So we will put a book up for sale and we'll start marketing it, and we can test our marketing message. We can see the number of sales as we're doing the launch. Certainly you can upload your book, hit publish, and then start trying to market it. But Amazon algorithm starts showing your book to more people as it sees that you're selling. So mm-hmm. one of the things we do is we send off-site traffic to Amazon to get the selling kind of the primed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will start running Amazon ads and doing some things like that. But we do a lot of finding lookalike authors, keywords in the genre, and so forth, and getting the book visible that way.
So it's a process.
It's a process. And then of course, one of the best things you can do is have influencers talking about your book as well. So mm-hmm. we have people try to get on podcasts and talk about their book during that pre-order period.
And so how do you test your marketing message? What are some of the things you do?
Okay. So, you know, a lot of these platforms, you really only got a headline And so, but you can usually track the clicks, just like, you know, Google Analytics, a lot of these platforms like BookBub, Amazon, you can see how many clicks you're getting. And then you can see the resulting amount of sales. So we sit there and measure, okay, are we getting a good enough click-through rate? If we're not, then our marketing message might be bad. Our little ad, in some places we can control the art, that might not work. But if they're clicking to the Amazon page, then they're not buying, then we've got to look at description, cover, social proof, if you've got editorial reviews and so forth. So
it's for half of it's a crapshoot. And for the rest of it, let's say it's half crapshoot and half I know what to do. I know exactly how to do it. Is that fair?
Yep. Half my marketing is working and I don't know which half. Right?
But it sounds like you're taking in a lot of data and really trying to analyze that data to understand which piece is working versus not working. And so Die Hard, what you might want to think about is like how much data are you actually collecting? If you send out 100 emails in a day, are you paying attention to the open rate to know if that subject is working? Are you paying attention to the click-through rate in your email to know if your messaging is working?
And who's responding and finally who's buying?
Right, exactly, and converting. And so there are many pieces along the way that will give you those clues to if your marketing message is working or not.
I think it's also fair to say that the publishing industry and the bookselling industry now are basically controlled by or dominated by one.com. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Amazon.com.
Yeah. Ooh.
I explained it to Barnes & Noble one day a few years ago when I told their .com division all the big shits. Every day, you wake up and go into a meeting to see what Amazon did yesterday. And every day, Amazon goes into their meeting and they don't give a shit what you did yesterday. And that pretty much defines it. And it's been that way for a decade. And wouldn't you think by now they would have done something different? But they don't. You go into a Barnes & Noble, it's the same stupid crap. They run out of a book and they say, oh, we'll order it for you and you can come back in and pick it up in a few days. Seriously? Like, prime, buy, done, goodbye. Why do I need to go through all that crap? Mm. Wouldn't you have figured that out? Are you a Barnes & Noble customer? Yeah, I'll just click this for you. It'll be at your house in 2 days. Okay, thanks.
Well, and cheaper in general, I think. I mean,
they
any product at Amazon, but books especially.
They have decided to do it the same old way and wonder why they're bleeding. The one thing I found, Amazon – published my last book, the real Amazon publishing company. Mm-hmm. And every publisher wakes up in the morning and wonders what algorithm Amazon is using, and Amazon pushes a button. Like, dude, it's our algorithm.
That's right.
So I think...
Well, I was just going to say, interestingly, they have got a setting in there, so you can run your own ads on Amazon, you set up your advertising platform. The one that works the best is their little automatic one. So you click on that. You don't have to put any keywords in. You click on that, say automatic, and that performs the best, amazingly.
Geez, I wonder why. Right, I wonder why.
So don't actually put human thought into it.
Right.
Just follow their process.
They're little Amazonians in the background there. They hide in your phone. They hide in your laptop.
I love it. They know what you're thinking.
Exactly. They know when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They're like Santa Claus.
So to help us understand, why should someone hire a coach to write their book?
Or help write their book.
Or help promote their book.
Or help sell their book.
Yeah.
I think for me that as an entrepreneur, my number one mistake has always been, somebody's done it before, but I'm going to do it myself. And for my first book, for instance, it took 10 months or something. And it was like, but a lot of that 10 months was just spinning my wheels. What am I supposed to do here? So if you can find it, you're going to find your own path, but that very first book, it's always the hardest. It's getting over the hump of getting the book idea in place, getting the draft done. Once you get over that hump, it's kind of like a checklist. If you get the draft done, you can outsource the rest. You can get an editor. Of course, you're going to hire a cover person, all that stuff. but getting your voice into your draft is the hard part. And sometimes it's just moral support. Sometimes it's simple things. I jumped on the phone. Somebody yesterday's like, I got to turn my workbooks into, a physical product instead of just the digital download. And I jumped on the thing with him for an hour and we've, had it all done. And he's like, oh my, that would have just saved me, 3 or 4 months of time. So it's just kind of leaning on somebody for the time savings. Look, I think most entrepreneurs are so good at everything. They can do it themselves, but how much time you got to invest learning? And that's, our most critical component is time. And so sometimes it helps to have somebody walking you through it. And
yeah, maybe I grew up in the 60s and I just didn't have that same feeling about the process. I wanted to do it myself because it was my idea, and who the hell is going to write better than me? But I had a tactical advantage. I made 3 A's in college, and English composition was one of them. One of the other two was archery, so don't be getting your hopes up that I was that brilliant. but I think that you have to look at this from a standpoint of what is it going to do for your legacy? And do you want your kid to get up at your funeral and say, my dad hired the best ghostwriter in the world to write this book for him?
I'm not suggesting a ghostwriter by any means.
Yeah. No, he's but suggesting just, a coach to walk you through the process.
I'm totally
to get
fine
your
with
book
that.
Heard.
I think that's the right thing because you need to know how. I definitely, I have 25 years of doing this, so I kind of have an understanding of what goes into it. And when Jen and I were working on hers, I gave her a 20-year leap just from not banging into the same doors that I banged into.
Right.
But I can also tell you that publishers are no longer the best resource for how to sell a book. And that's kind of disappointing that they would have spent all this time not learning what Amazon learned, and now Amazon's cleaning their clock.
So
that's a great point. I mean, I think that I get a lot of people that's like, even they've gone to even to these vanity publishers and just like, or regular publishers, and like, yeah, they told me to send it to my list. It's like, well, I get a lot of people that come to me just that they have publishers. They still need marketing. They still like, hey, I'm launching in 2 weeks. They haven't done anything. It's like, okay, let's scramble and get this done.
Why do you think most books fail?
I think what I've seen with a lot of people I work with is they've bought a course to write the book, and then they hit publish and think that's
it.
Man, now
it's out
here comes the money, right? It's not, I mean, you hit publish, and that's why a lot of times I'll say, you can go ahead and publish and we'll sort through the marketing, but don't worry about it. Cause they think, well, I hit publish, everyone's going to read it and get, not like the book description. And I said, no one's going to even see it until we tell
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
It's like in my early days of B&I, I was coaching these entrepreneurs and salespeople. And one lady came to me and she goes, I have a great idea. I need your sales help. I'm like, okay, what? She goes, I'm going to open up a shop and it's going to be floor level. So people who walk by are going to come. And I'm like, wait a minute. You think you're going to open up a shop and now people are going to show up? Really? That's not how it works. So it's like the same thing with like, I'm going to publish a book and now people are going to buy it.
It's a crazy notion. But in today's world, you have to have way more than you had when I first started to publish.
Mm, yeah.
I was in a paper. I had the benefit of writing a column for a couple of years before I started to put it together into a book. And I never wrote the book. I just wrote a column. And the column turned into a book. Once I had 100 of them, I had 200 pages. Done.
So how often and how much should an author be or a writer be promoting their book? Like what's too much versus what's the right amount?
Well, I don't think you could do it too much if you do it in the right way, right? But it's not this I call it book begging on Facebook. You make a post like, hey, my book's 99 cents today. It's like, well, how do I even know I would want to read that?
Or how will it benefit me?
Right. And, for me with my private clients, I have them like, we should be shooting a video kind of like you know, when you recorded the chapters and put it on YouTube, that's even just 1 minute tips and getting people to know you. And you've kind of got the, you know, the cold audience. This is Frank Kern's intent-based branding is he's calling right now, but the, you know, the cold audience, they watch a video. Now it's showing something a little more. And maybe in the end, if they've watched a few of my videos, they might, I might say, hey, check out the book.
Right. Might.
Right. And even then it's going to be more subtle, you know, direct messaging people on Facebook to help you buy your book is not, no, I'm saying that happens to me. And I'm like, if that's the first I've ever heard of you.
Yeah.
Next, right. I'm not buying your book. Yeah. If that's the first. So. It's same thing for products or services. Like it's like those people that connect with you on LinkedIn and then try to sell you something 1 minute later.
I don't know. Right. The ones on Instagram have my attention.
Well, Jeffrey, that's because they do these video ads.
I buy the slicer.
Like,
I buy the little thing.
He really does. Like a new product shows up every week here.
I'm a sucker
from Instagram.
For it. Yeah. I can slice cantaloupe better than anybody. I just want you to know that. But let me just throw a couple of things into the mix here. I have said for years, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And if you haven't established yourself out in the marketplace with some kind of branding, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And the second thing was, I was very fortunate early on when I published the book, I had the very same publisher that Harvey McKay had and Ken Blanchard had. And that's how I got to know them. And one day I was at a meeting with Ken Blanchard and I said, I'd like to talk to you about launching a book. And he's like, fine. Just, you know, meet me after the event. I go, fine. And there was a long line at the cafeteria and he said, come on, let's go back to my place and we'll just get room service. I'm like, fine. And he said, and this is a very interesting piece, once you publish your book, if you're not willing to bunk in for a year to back it, it will fail.
Wow.
And that was when there wasn't that many books. You know, this is 1994. And if you look at the old copies of the Sales Bible, you'll see that he gave me a very nice quote. His quote was, it's a book you need to keep by your side at all times.
Aww.
Yeah, it was damn nice.
So we're talking about books here, but if you close your eyes and think for a minute, insert your product into that, and you're not willing to bunker down for a year and promote that product or service or whatever it may be, or
it'll
business.
It'll fall to the wayside.
No one's going to know who you are and what it is.
And by the way, you need testimonials. And oh, by the way. You know, somebody has to say this is the greatest thing on the planet, and if you don't own it, you're a fool.
Hell yeah!
So
it's I completely agree. I think, you know, especially for entrepreneurs. I was at the fair yesterday. It was like this ride's moving over here, and this ride's moving over here, and this ride's moving over here, and I shot a couple. I shot an Instagram a video and a Facebook Live. I'm like, this is the life of an entrepreneur online. He's like, hey, over here, and so you create one thing, and then you're on to the next, and you're like. I created it, so it should be on autopilot. Or all I got to do is hit publish on my book, and it'll just sell itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once it's up on Amazon, that's it. Because right. Everyone goes to Amazon.
Well, hey, this has been awesome, Ray. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
thank
this interview you. Is this interview is history. However, if you're a diehard, you need to go back and figure out how you're going to promote what you have so that it is seen. Recognized as value and then bought.
Boom.
I think that's the real deal there.
And I think what you said, stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the published.
So in the manifesto, you'll see it says take the long cut because the shortcut don't work. I mean, it may work for like five people. You read about him. This guy took the shortcut. He went out and bought a lottery ticket. And he won $2 billion. Right.
Ray, we'll put your website in the show notes so people can find you after the show.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Cool.
And if you don't
Thank
mind
you.
Hanging on for a couple minutes, a couple things I'd like to ask you when we're done the show.
Sounds so, great.
All right.
Thank
we're
you,
out.
Everyone. Diehards, peace be with you. Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.